Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to get the wonderful opportunity to learn from Parshas Noach. And in Parshas Noach, of course, the primary major issue of the Parsha deals with the destruction of the entire world. The Torah begins with a whole discussion of Ketz Kol Basar Kol Balafanai, and God has Noach build the Teva, and Noach goes into the Teva, and God destroys the world. Vayimach es kol hayikum, we read in Perek Zayin Pasuk Chaf Gimel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wiped out all of the Yikum. Rav Ovadya Yosef Zecher Tzadik Livracha notes the incredible gifts that Hashem gave the generation of the Mabul, and how, in his opinion, they were kafuye tova for all of it, and took Hashem's gifts for granted. So Rav Ovadya cites a medrash which really describes just how the world functioned at that point in time. He cites the Medrash that notes that they only needed to plant once every 40 years, and then the ground would continue to produce for 40 years forward. The Medrash further adds that one could travel throughout the world in moments, that people were able to uproot trees, that the animals, including the lions, would fear them. The Medrash tells the story of one woman who gave birth and told her child, "I'm too tired, you go cut your own umbilical cord." And as the youngster looked around, to find a way to go ahead and do so, the Melech HaShedim came up and began to fight with him. And he stopped that battle due to the fact of the time. So the Melech HaShedim told the baby to thank its mother that he, the Melech HaShedim, didn't kill the baby, to which the baby told the Melech HaShedim that he should thank the baby's mother, for had she cut the cord, he, the baby, would have destroyed the Melech HaShedim. This type of confidence was inspired by all the gifts that were given by Hashem. Yet, it went unrecognized by the Dor HaMabul. Hence, says Rav Ovadya Zatzal, the Dor HaMabul, Ein Lahem Chelek Liolam Haba. They get no share in the world to come, because Hashem doesn't need Kfuye Tova in the world to come. So the Mabul continues, and the Teva continues to float. And then, at one point in time, Noach begins to send out birds. First the Orev, and then ultimately the Yonah. And of course, in a famous image that's constantly held out of the holding out the olive branch, v'hine alezayis taraf b'fia, we see that the Yonah came back with an alezayis, with an olive leaf in her mouth. Now the question has to be raised, why is it that the olive leaves and the olive trees, of all the trees, managed to stay around after HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed everything? So Daskenemi Baliatosos opines that perhaps it's because in the future the olive trees were going to provide special oil for the Beis HaMikdash. They were special trees with a special production. And if that's indeed the case, then why not save wine? Wine would also be needed in the future for the Nesachim, so why not save those as well? So Rav Gifter Zatzal explains that olive oil is only used for positive purposes. It doesn't need man to sanctify it for a holy purpose. On the other hand, wine and alcohol need man to realize that it can be used positively or negatively. Man is the one who actually has to actively choose not to use wine destructively and negatively. And as we see, Noach fails to learn that message, and so Noach was supposed to pick it up. Can you imagine what would have happened had it been given automatically? Noach perhaps wouldn't have even turned around and recognized that there was another choice. Following the Mabul, Noach all of a sudden becomes mutter to eat wine and become a carnivore. Ach basar damo benafsholo sochelu. He's told only meat with its soul you shall not eat, and Rashi says that refers to Eber Menachai. But from that point forward, man was allowed to eat meat. And the Ramban explains that that's because Noach saved the animals in general, so he was given permission to consume from them for his own needs. And the Gemara Pesachim Amdaf Memtes Amud Beis notes that one who's a Talmud Chacham is permitted to eat meat, but one who's an Amah Aretz is generally not permitted to eat meat. And the question has to be asked as to why that is. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, explains that while humans aspire for growth, animals never aspire for self-improvement. Because if an animal did aspire for self-improvement, it would aspire to be the best in life and have the best life. The way that this happens is when it's improved by man. That improvement happens when man, who consumes the animals, uses the energy that the animals provide for his own personal benefit. That only happens by the Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham uses the meat properly. And so therefore, in the process, not only is he Mekadesh himself, he's Mekadesh the Chomer, the things that he uses to consume in order for him to be able to eat as well. Vayachel Noach Isho Adama, which the Ramban translated as Noach began to be a man of the earth. And Rashi notes that no, Noach became an Ish Chulda and he debased himself. And so while it's clear that the Torah recognizes Noach's error in not choosing wisely, what was it about his character that led to the mistake that led him to go ahead and become a drunkard, to become an Ish Adama? So Rav Sabato Shalita suggests that unlike Moshe and Avram Avinu, Noach was a personal tzaddik. Noach felt that his own tzedakah could not save his generation, and so he divorced himself from the generation. Sforno explains that a tzaddik who perfects himself can only be saved from himself. And when he goes ahead and perfects himself and not the world around him, he can only save himself. While Moshe Rabbeinu grows from being an Ish Mitzri to an Ish Elokim, Noach goes in the opposite direction. And this happens because he doesn't take the generation with him. And so as a result, he winds up alone and lowly at ground level. And Cham Avi Kenan Eser Vas Aviv, Vayagad L'Shnei Echav Bachutz. Rashi quotes the dual opinions as to whether Cham castrated Noach or whether he abused Noach. Was it Sirso or Rivo? But Rav Olba Zatzal noted that that can't be literal. It couldn't be literal physical castration or literal physical re'iyah, since the Torah only uses the word vayar, not revi'ah, not vayirva, and not vayisares. And so therefore, Rav Olba explains that the issue must be more spiritual, psychological impotence than happened. Now we find many examples in the Gemara of hezek re'iyah, and we see that the power of the gaze that exists in earlier generations. We see that it's true nowadays as well, where shaming can go ahead and make a person physically unable to perform. Let me close with one final thought on the Haftorah, where we are told in the Haftorah, Ki Mei Noach Zos Li Yishaya Navi makes that declaration. And why is the flood referred to as Mei Noach? Wasn't Noach the one who was saved by the flood? Zemori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter Shalita would often cite the Medrash that explains that Noach didn't daven to negotiate with Hashem the way that Avraham Avinu did. The Jewish people help everybody. We need to fulfill our mission, and we need to do what we're supposed to do, and expect that in its merit, then Hashem will fulfill the rest of the Pasuk. Hashem nishbati migor bach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore that it won't come back to hurt you in the process. We'll stop here and wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom umvorach.